Good morning and welcome to Saturday Morning Dads. My name's Sean.
My name's Curtis.
And this podcast is for you if you think way too much about kids' movies. Today, we're talking about The Princess Bride.
Yeah. It's a kids' movie, right?
An all-time great kids' movie.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Absolutely. Top movie of all time.
Do you remember the first time that you saw it?
Just barely. And you know what? Honestly, I found this out watching this movie. I never saw it all the way through.
What?
I definitely saw the first half of it two times when I was like 19, 20 years old. Yeah. But like the second half of the movie was brand new to me.
Really? Like from the Fire Swamp on or from...
From the Fire Swamp on. Like, but basically once they got through the Fire Swamp...
So you had never seen Miracle Max?
I'd never seen Miracle Max. I had never seen the Death Torture Machine. I never saw the final I am Enigma, or You Killed My Father, Prepare to Die.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, those are very iconic scenes that you'd never seen before in your life.
Never saw them.
Before you watch it just now?
Yes.
Wow. That's very surprising.
Miracle Max was, what's his face?
William Crystal.
Yeah. Billy Crystal. William Diamond.
Yes, William Diamond. So you had only seen like the part with Andre the Giant, like part where they kidnap her.
Yeah, the like three trials. I thought that was the whole movie.
A short movie.
Yeah.
That's less than half the movie.
Yeah.
I can't remember the first time I saw this. It's just kind of like always been there.
It's just part of the zeitgeist.
Yes, of my brain.
This is such a part of the pop culture zeitgeist that there are magic cards about it.
Are there really?
Yeah. It's an interesting factoid that I'm sure nobody cares about.
It's interesting because there's no magic in this movie. I guess Miracle Max has a little bit of magic, but...
He resurrects somebody from the dead with a giant...
He wasn't dead, though. He's mostly dead.
Yeah, mostly dead. Yeah.
Do you want to jump into the plot of the film, starting with Columbo?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, so... I watched this with my 5-year-old daughter, June. Mm-hmm. And the opening scene is a really old school baseball video game.
Yes.
That comes on screen. And she was super confused by that. She was like, what? She was like super excited to see a princess. And it starts with Fred Savage sick in bed playing a baseball video game.
Can I just interrupt for a second about Fred Savage?
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of child actors on this podcast.
Oh, he's an all-timer.
Fred Savage takes the cake.
He's an all-time
Fred Savage might be the best child actor of all time.
He's a better child actor than he is an adult actor. Well, now he's like a director and producer, I guess. He does a lot of stuff. Fred Savage... Sick in bed. His mom comes in. I thought it was Lorraine Bracco for a second, but it wasn't. I checked. And she's in it for like 1 second. She tells him his granddad's here. His grandfather's here to read him a story. And his grandfather, played by Peter Falk, the great Columbo, comes in pretty bad old age makeup, I would say.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's funny how sometimes makeup... looks bad now that it's HD.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Like, I'm sure on regular film in the theater and on VHS and DVD even, it was fine. But, you could see, like, the powder wig.
I did not pick up on that. I did not pick up on this. Though I've never seen him in anything else. I've never seen Columbo. So.
Oh, yeah. Peter Falk is in a lot of stuff. But, yeah, he comes in, he said he has a book, said it's a book that his grandfather or father used to read him when he was sick. He wanted to read it to Fred Savage. Fred Savage is not super excited about it. It's called The Princess Bride. He's not into it, but he finds out that there's swords and killing and whatnot, so he'll give it a shot.
Now, I was watching this movie with my dear 9-year-old daughter Maddie curled up on me, and she was right there with Fred Savage. She was like, I don't want to watch this movie. It sounds stupid. And then as Fred Savage was like, okay, let's give it a shot. Maddie was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Let's see.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, okay.
He talked her into it, yeah. And then she was also right there with the kissing thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My girls, every time there's kissing, they're like, ooh. But then they kind of secretly like it, I think.
Yeah.
So the grandfather starts reading the book. And it's about a farm boy, Wesley.
Yep.
And the woman, I guess, that he serves. I don't know. It's unclear if there's any
farmer's daughter.
If there's anybody else on this farm or if it's just nobody else is shown.
I think he says the farmer's daughter. And then, like, she inherits the farm? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter. Story.
He says, as you wish. And yeah. He really means, I love you.
He never says anything but as you wish. And she is progressively kind of mean to him. And he just keeps saying, as you wish. And then one day, she realized that really means, I love you.
Yeah.
And then they smooch.
Yep.
And Fred Savage immediately stops the story. He's like, whoa, Grandpa. So, is this a kissing book?
That's exactly what Maddie was saying, too. Maddie was right there. Yeah.
Wesley wants to marry her. Her name is Buttercup, which is a great princess name. She's not a princess, though. But he wants to marry her, but he doesn't have any money. So he's going to go find his fortune. He's going to go sail the seas and come back and marry her. She gets word, though, later.
That's what you did when you first met your wife, too.
Yeah,
right?
I set sail.
You spent 5 years at sea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She gets word that he has been murdered by the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah.
It's unclear, like, where this is in the world. I assume it's around, like, Italy.
Yeah, Italy.
Malta.
Spain. I don't know.
Greece.
Yeah.
I only say that because Vizzini is named Vizzini, and he says he's Sicilian.
Yes.
which he's clearly not.
And there was a time when Spain was like five different countries of like Navarre and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were always fighting with each other, and that's what medieval times is.
I was going to say, like, where have I heard that? Oh, yeah, medieval times.
Yes. medieval times is Spain.
Yes.
And Inigo, what's his name? Indigo Montoya?
Inigo Montoya.
Inigo?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a Spaniard. So this is on the coast of, or the border of Italy and Spain.
Yes, because they share a border.
It's right on the border. Yeah. The northern half.
So we cut to years later, I suppose.
5 years.
5 years later. And the Prince Humperdinck has chosen a commoner.
Great prince name.
Oh, amazing. Amazing performance by Chris Sarandon. He's so good in this.
He's so good at being unlikable.
But he has chosen a commoner as his fiancée. Who is going to be the princess. And he chose Buttercup because she is very beautiful.
Maddie was... she didn't believe this part. He was like, why would he choose a commoner? And she's like, he's a prince. He has to marry a princess. He can't marry a commoner.
Now that is...
And I was just like, because she's the hottest. And Maddie was like, oh, all right. Well, I guess that makes sense.
Makes sense. But secretly, she's just part of a plot.
Yeah.
He wants to start a war with, they live in Florin. He's trying to start a war with, what's the other country's name? I don't know. It doesn't matter, I guess.
Navarre.
Huh?
Navarre.
It's not Navarre.
Okay.
This is not medieval times.
I wish it was.
God, what is, I gotta find the name of it.
But
Gelder? Gelder?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Maybe Gilder. So she gets kidnapped. She goes out riding one day. She gets kidnapped by three men. Vizzini, who is the little guy played by Wallace Shawn. Inigo Montoya, played by Mandy Patinkin. Mm. And Andre the Giant, played by Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Fezzik, played by Andre the Giant. So they take her onto a boat, and you find out the plot that they are going to frame Gelder for kidnapping her, and they're going to find her body, and it's going to start a war. And he's been hired to do this. You don't know it's Humperdinck yet behind it, but it's Humperdinck behind it. She tries to escape and is almost killed by a screeching eel. Screeching eel or screaming eel?
Yeah. Very, very good monster effects. It was very cool looking.
Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear it's just some big puppet, but it looks cool. It was good looking.
And they're going along, and they find they look behind them, and there's somebody's following them in a boat.
Yeah,
it's a single man. They reach their destination, which are the Cliffs of Insanity.
Wonderful name, love it.
They tie everyone to Fezzik under the giant, and he pulls everybody up sheer cliff,
just with just his upper arms,
only arms.
No, doesn't even use his legs to climb the rope.
And they look behind them, and there's a masked man.
Yeah,
following, and he's climbing. He's gaining on them fast, but they make it up first. They decide Inigo Montoya is going to stay behind and either make sure that he falls off the cliff or kills him with his sword, because he's a great swordsman. He's been practicing his whole life. But Inigo wants a challenge. So he helps the masked man up by throwing him a rope, and they are going to fight. But before they fight, Inigo tells the masked man he's looking for a six-fingered man, because the six-fingered man killed his father a long time ago.
Great story about a sword and his father.
Yes, his father was a great sword maker, made this amazing sword, and the guy came back, wanted to pay only a tenth of what he agreed to pay. The father protested, and the guy killed him.
Yeah, and then he cut this little boy's face.
Yes, gave him two scars to remember him by. So he's been looking for the six-fingered man on a quest for revenge his entire adult life.
Yes, and also drinking.
Also drinking and also practicing with swords.
Just getting drunk and swording it up.
So they, the two men decide they like each other, but they got to kill each other. So they start to fight. Was it on What Went Wrong that they said that professional sword fighters like consider this one of the greatest on-screen sword fights of all time?
Yeah, I think, yes, it was. We should probably just take a moment to shout out What Went Wrong, one of our mutually favorite podcasts. They
love that.
They
love
talk it. About the behind the scenes. They did this movie a couple months ago. And they tell you about all the behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't go into. But yeah, check out their episode on this movie. Andre the Giant is a crazy person. This fight scene was choreographed by the world's most famous sword fighter choreographer guy. And they had been practicing this for months leading up to shooting this scene, because you know the movies aren't shot in order, so they've been practicing this for forever,
every day.
And while they were shooting other scenes, they would practice this. And the guy who did it also did all the fight choreography for the original Star Wars and stuff. He did the fight choreography for the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He's the sword guy. Yeah, and so these dudes really knew what they were doing and put in a ton of work to pull off what is, in my opinion, the best sword fight I've ever seen on film.
It's really good. It's very, you can tell that they are very skilled.
Yeah.
They make it look almost effortless.
And I love a rapier.
Yes.
I own a rapier.
A sword. That's a sword.
Yeah. I own one.
I have. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you practice with it every day?
No, every week maybe.
But there's all kinds of cool little gimmicks in the sword fight. They both pretend to be left-handed, They reveal at different times that they are not really left-handed.
And they actually had to...
Yeah, they learned it with
both hands. They had to learn it left-handed.
There's some flips by over a conveniently placed vine.
on a gymnastics bar.
Yes. But the Ben in Black bests him.
Yes.
And Montoya wants to, he says, you've bested me. Go ahead and kill me. But he doesn't. He hits him over the head.
Yeah, just knocks him out.
Knocks him out and leaves him. And he goes, and then Fezzik, he has to confront Fezzik, the giant from Greenland. He's from Greenland.
Was that in there? I don't remember that.
Yeah. He was unemployed in Greenland, where Vizini found him.
Okay.
So Vizini says, just hide behind this big rock. When he passes by, crush his head with a big rock.
Yeah.
He says, that's you got that. And he said, my way is not very sportsmanlike. Andre the Giant has the best lines in this whole movie.
Yes, he does.
You can barely understand him, but it was very funny.
And also, so he was in like a great deal of pain throughout the whole shooting of this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, get into all the behind the scenes thing.
He
but
could
like,
barely walk.
Yeah, they were having to like cart him around on a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
Yeah. He couldn't fit in a golf cart, so they had to get like a four-wheeler, and he would drive that around the set.
So to make it more sporting, they decide that they're going to just fight. No weapons. Even though Andre the Giant is twice as big as Wesley.
At least.
But he puts him in a chokehold, very WWF style. Puts him in a sleeper hold and knocks him out.
Eventually he gets there, yeah.
So then it's down to Vizini and the Man in Black. They decide to have a battle of wits.
This is my favorite scene.
Oh, it's great. It's great. So the battle of wits is they have two goblets of wine. The Man in Black is going to put poison in one of them. It is odorless, colorless. And then Vizini has to decide which one they're going to drink. So he goes through a whole spiel of like why it's not the one in front of the Man in Black and why it's not the one in front of him.
Oh, it can't be this one because you would think that I would think it's that one. So therefore, I must think it's this one. But you knew I would think it was this one.
Yeah. Lots of circular reasoning. And then at the end, he just says, hey, what's that behind him? And he switches them. And then they decide to drink. They both drink. Vizini starts laughing at him. He's like, I switched it. And then he mid-laugh. Just dies.
Excellent performance by Walsh.
So good. Turns out that the Man in Black had poisoned both of them because he had built up a tolerance to this particular poison. So he kind of cheated.
Hey, spoiler alert. I don't know if this is really worthy of putting it on the podcast, but in our D&D game, Jessica's character will be able to do that in a few levels.
Awesome.
Yeah.
To not be poisoned.
Yeah, she'll have an immunity to poison at 6th level.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So now the Man in Black, it's just the Man in Black and Buttercup. She thinks that he is the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Oh, yeah, and she's not happy about it.
Not happy about it because the Dread Pirate Roberts killed her Wesley.
Yeah. She pushes him off a very steep...
He accuses her bank. Of moving on too quickly, basically, and marrying the prince. Basically, like, spitting on her true love for Wesley. She pushes him down an extremely steep hill.
Yes. I wanted to get, like, a big piece of cardboard and sled down that hill.
He yells out, as you wish, as he always did. And she realizes, this is Wesley. What have I done? And she rolls herself down the hill after him.
Yeah.
It's a very long, very tall, very steep hill.
Yeah. And Natty said, can't she just like walk around? I was like, I don't know. The topography. So.
Oh, this whole time though, Humperdinck has been tracking them. And Humperdinck is an expert tracker. He can tell every little thing that has happened based on footprints and smells. And it's very funny.
He's like Aragorn.
Yes, he's like Aragorn, but better.
It reminded me of that scene where Aragorn is like, two hobbits lay here.
Yes, two hobbits lay here.
They cut their bindings. And I'm like, no, they didn't. That's just some grass.
It's very, like, there was a giant battle. There's blood all over the place, and you could tell where two hobbits lay. Anyway, he's like that. He can tell everything. So they are right behind Wesley and Buttercup.
They're gaining.
They're right there. So Wesley and Buttercup, they're only choice.
I just want to point out that everything we've talked about so far has taken place between, I don't know, 6 and 7:30 a.m. Like, he knocks these trials out. He runs.
It is first thing in the morning because they sailed all night and they hit the cliffs of insanity in the morning.
So, and he sprints from one objective to the next. So this has all been...
He's in great shape.
Yeah, but this has just all been like in, I don't know, between breakfast and second breakfast. Yeah,
it's like pre-10 o'clock still. Their only choice, though, is to head into the fire swamp.
Yes, the fire swamp.
The fire swamp, I had to fast forward for fear that it would scare my children.
Oh, the...
We're 5 and 2.
Rodents of...
The R-O-U-S's, rodents of unusual size.
Yes.
They look like giant possums.
They did look like... Yeah, and they were... Their legs didn't move?
No.
They just kind of shook around?
Yeah, they like wobbled back and forth and moved. But they were scary when I was a kid.
Yeah.
There's also like bursts of fire every once in a while. But they make it through. They get attacked by an R-O-U-S. Mm-hmm. They have to kill it by rolling it onto a fire thing. They make it through, and apparently Humperdinck just went around the fire swamp and met them on the other side.
Yes.
Caught them really easily.
Very easily.
Buttercup pleads for Wesley's life.
Yeah.
Humperdinck promises to send him back to his
ship.
Oh, it turns out that Wesley had become the Dread Pirate Roberts after the Dread Pirate Roberts had retired.
Oh, yeah. They have a whole little bit of explanation there.
Yeah. He was like, yeah. So he actually was the Dread Pirate Roberts, but obviously he was not dead. So Buttercup agrees to go back with Humperdinck, and Humperdinck promises to take Wesley to his ship, but he immediately obviously lied about it.
And we see the six-fingered man.
He is Humperdinck's right-hand man.
Yeah.
No pun.
Yeah.
A pun may be intended.
Could be intended, yeah.
He's got six fingers on his right hand. So they take Wesley to what is it called? A pit of despair.
Yeah, pit of despair.
The pit of despair, where he's going to be tortured by this really funny albino guy.
Yeah,
who has like a really rough voice at the beginning, like don't even try to escape. Then he clears his throat and has a normal voice. let's see. So basically,
and they have a machine with little cups, little glass cups, hooked up to his body, right over his nips.
Yeah, they're like sucking the life out of him, basically.
Yeah, and they can suck the life out of him 1 year at a time, or 2 years, or 3 years, drink it up. And then we also see back in the castle that Humperdinck's gonna be like, "Hey, you have to marry me, or else," or she's like, "Well, send out a letter. Wesley will come for me." And he agrees to send out his four fastest ships in the four cardinal directions to find his ship and give this letter. Yeah.
She basically says, I would rather kill myself than marry you.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, sorry you feel that way. I'll send out ships, and if Wesley comes for you, you can go with him.
And we find out that he doesn't really care because he's going to kill her anyway, blame it on that other country and start a war.
Yeah, he still wants to start the war. It's unclear why. I think he wants
war
to be
is
a
profitable.
He wants to be a wartime king.
Wartime is profitable for medieval kings.
So, let's see what happens after that. We see Inigo Montoya again. He's drunk outside of a tavern. Fezzik finds him.
Yeah.
I forgot why we go back to Fezzik.
Well, because Fezzik gets a job in the guard.
Oh, yeah, the Brute Squad.
The Brute Squad. And they're kicking everybody out of this town to for it's like a squatter's town to like get the kingdom ready for the wedding.
Yeah.
And Fezzik's kicking everybody out, and then he finds
Montoya.
Mandy Patinkin.
And yeah. He decides, how did Mandy Patinkin, or how did Inigo Montoya figure out that the six-fingered man was in the castle? Did he?
They heard him screaming in agony because the right-hand man came down there, the six-fingered man came down there and like sucked the life force out of him 50 years at a time.
Yes.
And he screamed so loud it could be heard throughout the whole kingdom. And so he was like, let's go there. He needed him. He needed him because he was like, they found the six-fingered man.
Yeah.
And they needed, yeah. And he was like, I can kill him, but I don't have a plan to get to him.
He's like, there's 30 guys guarding the castle.
Yeah.
And they figure they can only take out like 10 of them, 15 of them tops.
So they needed brains for their operation.
Like who can plan this now that, Vizzini's dead?
Yeah.
And the only guy they can come up with was the guy that bested both of them, the man in black.
Yeah.
So they find him. He's in the pit of despair. Buttercup finds out that Humperdinck lied, didn't really send out the ships. So she insults him, tells her that Wesley's going to come for him. He goes down. He gets mad, goes down to the pit of despair, and basically kills Wesley with the machine. And they leave him there. And then Fezzik and Inigo Montoya find the Pit of Despair. Well, he has like a whole scene where he lets his sword guide him.
Yeah.
And he finds the tree with a lever that opens the little door.
Oh, and they knock out the albino and leave him on top of a wheelbarrow. And we'll come back to that.
Yes. Yes. It's very funny. So they take Wesley's body to Miracle Max because he's basically dead, and they think Miracle Max maybe he can bring him back to life. Turns out Miracle Max is retired and he doesn't want to do it.
But it's for true love.
So he gets some fire bellows, blows some air into Wesley, and then asks him a question and pushes on his belly and ask him why he wants to come back to life. He says, true love.
And then who plays Miracle Max's wife?
Carol Kane.
Carol Kane, yeah.
Yeah, she was really funny.
She was great.
Anyway, there's a whole scene where Miracle Max says he's not really dead, he's mostly dead. And he kind of brings it back to life, but he can't move. He's alive, but he can't move any of his limbs.
Yeah, it's going to take 24 hours for him to like gain full control of his body.
Yeah. So they go to the castle. They say, hey, what's the plan? There's 60 guys now guarding the castle. He says, I don't know. If I had a couple weeks, maybe I could make a plan. If only I had a wheelbarrow.
And they're like, where did we leave that wheelbarrow? And Andre the Giant's like, I think we left it under the albino.
Yeah. He's like, okay, well, man, I really wish that we had a cloak.
Yeah. Then he's just like, here's a cloak.
Yeah. He pulls one out of his shirt. He's like, hey, I got this at Miracle Max's. It fits so well, he gave it to me. So their plan is to put Andre the Giant in the cloak. Put him on the wheelbarrow so he's gigantic, and he pretends to be the Dread Pirate Roberts, who everybody's afraid of. They light him on fire, and all the guys run away, basically. And they go through the castle, and Inigo sees the six-fingered man. He chases after him. There's a great fight where he keeps saying, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yeah.
And he kills him.
Well, he says it like 50 times.
Yes.
And each time with more and more feeling. And he almost dies first. He gets stabbed many times.
The
dagger gets thrown
at
him.
My girls were very concerned about the amount of blood. There's very little blood. But
yeah.
They did not like that at all. But he ends up killing the six-fingered man.
It was great. Yeah. It was cathartic.
Yes. Wesley finds his way to Buttercup's bedchambers.
Mm-hmm.
She sees him. She's about to kill herself, but he stops her. She starts kissing him. He can't move. My girls thought that was really gross.
Yeah.
It was kind of gross. And then Humperdinck comes in. Wesley burns him real bad with some hilarious insults.
Yeah.
He says he's going to fight him to the pain. And he goes through everything that to the pain means.
Yeah, not just to the death.
Yes. He's going to cut off all his limbs, but leave his ears so he can hear the screams.
Of the children when they see him. When he's cut off his feet and his hands at the wrist and his ankles.
Eyes.
His eyes and left him scarred and brutalized.
So basically they save Buttercup. They jump out the window. Fezzik finds four white horses. They ride off. And that's the end of the story.
That's the end of the story. That's the end.
That's the end. And then...
happily ever after.
There's, you know, a part at the end where they start kissing again. The grandpa stops. He said, you don't want to hear that. And Fred Savage is like, well, it's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Fred Savage asks his grandpa to come back tomorrow night and read it again. And he says, as you wish. And then it's over.
Which means I love you.
Which means I love you.
I got a little tear in my eye.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Got a little tear in my eye.
It was beautiful. And then we hear the beautiful guitar theme by Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Dire Straits.
Yeah. And that's it. Very simple story.
It was a great story.
It was
a fairy tale.
Written by William Goldman, who's a very famous Hollywood scriptwriter.
Yeah, he wrote this before he ever wrote a Hollywood script.
He wrote this for his granddaughter or his daughter.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I cannot recommend to our listeners, if you even think our podcast is okay, you're going to love What Went Wrong.
Yeah, they actually do research. They know some facts about the movie. They don't just watch the movie. They actually like know things about it.
Yes.
And everything that we know about this movie is because we listen to their podcast.
Yes.
So don't stop listening to our podcast.
No, please do. Yeah.
Just, you should. I mean, if you like podcasts, you should listen to theirs too. That's it. What did I miss anything?
No. Did your daughters have anything they wanted to share on the podcast?
No, but they don't care that I have a podcast. They don't know what podcasts are.
Maddie thinks it's pretty cool that I have a podcast. She's in on it, and she had a few things she wanted me to share.
Okay.
One, there were three kissing scenes.
Yes.
No judgment on that. She just wanted to point it out.
Three. Yeah.
Also, I asked her if there was anything bad about the movie she wanted to share, and she, in different words, said there was no racial diversity.
Very true.
Yeah. And she thought that made it unrealistic and unbelievable.
Very good observation.
And she also said that Wesley and Buttercup looked like they were brother and sister. And I was like, is that bad? And she was like, well, I don't know. And I was like, well, you should watch Game of Thrones.
There is also a couple in that movie or in that show that look like brother and sister.
Yeah.
And they're actually twins. And there's way more than kissing scenes in that movie. So they look like brother and sister, but they're not.
They're not. No.
Not that we know of. I mean,
those are Maddie's negative observations, but she overall liked the movie. Yeah. She said she would watch it again.
June liked it. Stevie liked it. They said ew at all the kissing. They didn't like that. They didn't like the blood. But whenever Inigo killed the six-finger man, my two-year-old said, he did it.
That's adorable. She's only two and sure has an eye for revenge.
Yeah, she's out. She's, yeah, got to watch out for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, they both enjoyed it a lot. Who are you wearing on a t-shirt?
Wallace Shawn.
Yeah, I'm wearing on it a giant. Well, No, I'm, you know, I can't funny, say that because I
probably,
don't.
You actually probably can buy a lot of Andre the Giant merch.
Oh, yeah.
Because Obey Giant. Of Obey, right?
Yeah, Obey Giant is...
My dad has a lot of Obey shirts for some reason. Or two, I guess.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's more than the average person has. Yeah, so let's see. Who am I going to... Maybe an R-O-U-S.
No, what?
On a t-shirt?
Sure. Yeah, go, you do you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, maybe the king, the old king. He's pretty funny. Oh, we didn't even talk about the priest.
Oh, yeah, the priest. The priest. Do you want to do the
Mowage.
Priest?
Mowage. Yeah. Mowage is why we gather here today.
Who was that?
I can't remember his name, but he was very, very funny.
Yeah.
That made June laugh a lot. Speech impediments. Big part of 80s movies.
You never really see movies make fun of speech impediments or albinos anymore.
Yeah, we need more of that.
It seems like there was a couple albinos. I can't think of them in 80s movies.
Albinos were really big. You know what was also, we've talked about this before on this show, I think, quicksand. There was also a quicksand scene in this movie.
There was quicksand scene, yeah.
I thought... When you were a kid, I mean, you thought quicksand was everywhere, right?
I thought quicksand
was a legitimate fear.
Was going to be a real big part of my adult life. I also thought the Bermuda Triangle was going to be a bigger part of my life.
Totally, because of that, there was like a five episode arc about the Bermuda Triangle in DuckTales.
Yes, there was.
woohoo! It was big.
That was a weak woohoo. You know.
That was.
You know what I'm going for, though.
Yeah. Bermuda Triangle. Not even a thing anymore. Nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Nobody talks about quicksand anymore, either. I don't know if quicksand ever existed.
There was quicksand in the Dora movie.
Yes.
That was only a couple years old.
Which we watched that. We watched that a lot, like, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
We watched it, like, 3 times in a week.
It was a good movie. Top notch.
Top notch.
Top notch movie. One of Michael Pena's best pieces.
Oh, man. June wanted to play the part where he does the rave.
Yes.
Like over and over again.
Nice.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's your sequel?
Oh, my sequel. Fred Savage is now a grandpa. And he's, or just a dad, maybe. I don't know. Whatever his age appropriate is. And he's reading it to his kid, but his kid's obsessed with space.
Okay.
And so Fred Savage is on the fly reinterpreting the same story in a Star Wars-esque way.
Nice.
So it's the exact same story beats, new motif.
It even, the brother and sister thing even comes into play in that.
Yeah. There's some brother sister kissing in Star Wars.
Yeah. Pretty inappropriate. Brother and sister kissing.
Nobody knew they were brother and sister except for the guy who made them kiss. So
pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
Also the same guy that made Indiana Jones have an inappropriate love affair with a 14-year-old Marion.
Yeah.
Pretty questionable stuff by George Lucas.
Yeah, George Lucas, not time has revealed he doesn't have the best judgment.
No, he does not. No. I think George Lucas is the luckiest filmmaker on the planet.
The best thing he ever did was sell to Disney.
Oh, yeah, he knew. He's like, I'm out of ideas.
I already ruined it. Time to cash out.
I'm out of ideas. I'm ruining this thing. I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he did the right thing. That was the best decision. I truly believe that if he had the technology to make the original Star Wars trilogy bad, it would have been awful.
He did. Because he already did the remakes in the 2000s.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm going to go back and make these worse.
Add a bunch of CGI. And he did the CGI Jabba the Hutt scene when he's all slugging around the Millennium Falcon.
Just bad stuff. George Lucas, just stay away from Princess Bride. I don't think he has any rights to Princess Bride.
No, I don't think so.
He has no rights to anything anymore, I don't think.
No, he sold everything.
Good.
I will say this. The Willow TV show was good.
Disagree.
If you want to watch it.
If I had never seen Willow the movie, which is the best movie, number one movie of all time.
Better than The Princess Bride?
I mean, I like it better. It's a personal favorite. I know it's not that great of a movie, but it is a personal favorite.
Okay.
Where was I going with that? Oh yeah, if I had not seen the movie, I might have enjoyed the TV show.
Well, I've been watching this show on Netflix called Bone and Shadow or something like that. And every time I watch it, I'm just like, I wish this was the Willow TV show.
Not only did they stop making the Willow TV show, they took it off the streaming platform. They were like, this is so bad, we're not even going to give it space on the servers.
There's no way to legally watch the show.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Oh, you know what's crazy also? Is they made that whole Batgirl movie with Brendan Fraser in it.
Never released it.
Never released
it. I think that has to do with like taxes and writing them off as losses and things like that.
They thought it was so bad. But like, look at how terrible all DC movies are. They all should have just been written off.
Yeah.
The Batgirl one at least seemed like it was cool. Like,
people would have gone and seen it just because it was a girl lead.
No, actually, that's not true. Nobody would go see girl superhero movies. The Marvels tanked.
Look how well Madame Web did.
it's going to win all the Razzies.
Oh, apparently it's terrible.
It looks so terrible.
It looks bad. Plus, it's like, I mean, I don't know. Marvel is like down to making movies about.
Well, that's not a Marvel movie.
Characters that nobody's heard of. Like,
it's not a Marvel movie. It's part of the Morbius universe from Sony.
Is that not Marvel?
I mean, it's a Marvel comic book,
yeah.
But
that's what I mean.
Sony, but it's not Marvel like Disney owns Marvel.
It's
Sony's desperate, not Marvel.
Which those are all now on Disney Plus anyway, so they still own them.
Yeah, but Sony owns the rights to all the characters in the Spider-Man comics that are not Spider-Man. They have a deal with Marvel to where Spider-Man himself is in the Marvel universe. So they still produce and get money from the like the Tom Holland movies. But Morbius and Spawn and Madame Web, those are all Sony in their own Spider universe. And they can't stay Spider-Man. But Uncle Ben is in this movie. I kind of wanted to see it just because young Uncle Ben is in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's Cones of Dunshire dude.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh my gosh.
I'm
drawing a blank, but yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, the guy from Parks and Rec. He plays young Uncle Ben in Madame Web. So at first I was like, okay, I'll see Madame Web. And then like the reviews and the YouTube breakdowns, it just looks so bad. Anyway, what's your sequel?
That one sounded pretty good. I don't think I can top that one.
We'll do it together. We'll co-write it.
Yeah, we'll co-write that one.
I get the story back credit.
I get that's fine. I get the
right
profits.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, you want to call it an episode?
Let's call it an episode. That was a good one.
A little short episode today. A little behind-the-scenes peek for the fans who have made it to the very end of the episode. We had to record on our lunch break, so we didn't have time to dilly-dally.
And also, I know we've been talking about green screens and cameras and putting our stuff on video for a long time now. And
yeah,
we're going to do it one day. We have all the stuff.
We bought all the stuff. We also, another behind-the-scenes peek, moved offices.
Yeah, again.
So we don't really have a good place in this office to set all that up. So
yeah, we got to figure out where we're going to do this. All right, that's it.
Good night. Good night. Oh, famous catchphrase.
Saturday morning death, part of your complete breakfast.